This is a Deese World production in association with Pants Pending Studios. Yo, what's up, everyone? This is Deese, host of the Social Hour and Drink and Debate podcast on PantsPending.com. I'm here to tell you all about Spokane's first underground comedy mixtape, featuring some of Northwest's hottest young comics. It's going down live at the Bartlett in downtown Spokane at 228 West Sprague Avenue on March 15th at 8 p.m. Doors open at 7 p.m. and tickets are available now at thebartlettspokane.com. Advance tickets are only $10 and space is limited. You'll see 13 great comics such as Philip Kopczynski, Tony Russell, Greg Beechler, D. Abrams, Jared Munson, myself, and many, many more. So get your tickets now and be there March 15th at 228 West Sprague Avenue for the live Spokane Underground Comedy Mixtape recording at the Bartlett. We'll see you there.
Attention, attention. If you missed the hustle, you missed this.
What about just tight jeans and we reenact the Faith video as a tribute?
Yeah.
Well, I guess it would be nice if Adam wore tight pants and then we watch his ass dance. That would be nice.
I have so many like revenge plots that are probably coming up. Will happen when it happens.
It's a good way to look at life.
Adam. Yeah,
that's why I'm nice to everybody.
Uh huh. Yeah.
Bullshit. Yeah, I'd be surprised if Glenn Case didn't bust through that window and hit you with a banjo.
It's The Hustle with executive producer Adam Tucker.
I'm thankful for the power of laughter.
Travis Powell with the news.
What are you doing? Why are you pausing? What's with that weird, awkward laugh? Stop it!
And that babbling ass, Will.
I just get restraining orders in the mail. All I could think of was money and fucking whores.
I know you got to get your hustle on, so I pray.
PantsPending.com/hustle.
You are now listening to The Social Hour.
They're not PC, so if occasional foul language turns you off, then you have all been warned. This is the calm before the storm. Get ready for The Social Hour.
Live from Deese World Studios in Spokane, Washington. This is The Social Hour. On today's show, improvisational comedian and actress Melissa Rice and special guest co-host comedian Jessica Watson. Producer Traz Swartout is back in studio. And now for your host, that's me, Deese Casillas, still recovering from a concussion and preparing for my lawsuit against Roger Goodell. Welcome to the show. Malav Gain, everyone, welcome to the show. This is The Social Hour. Thank you for joining us for another episode. Traz is back in studio, back from his Indiana Jones adventures. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing really good, and I'm really glad to be back.
We're glad to have you back. And filling in, special guest co-host Jessica Watson is back with us.
Hello.
Hello. How are you, dear?
I'm good.
Good to have you back. Thanks for coming again. And our guest tonight, improvisational comedian and all-around great gal, Melissa Rice.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm so great. I'm excited to be here.
We're excited to have you. Thank you for coming in. Oh, sorry, I'm just going to turn you up a little.
Okay.
There you go. There you go. So we can hear you a little better.
Good.
Yeah, I'm happy to have you here. Melissa is an improvisational comedian actress. You can find her at the Blue Door Theater in the Garland District of Spokane, performing regularly. If you are in the earshot of where this show is recorded in Spokane, Washington, she's been a regular performer at the Drinkin' Debates too. Did the show last night as well as Jessica. You guys both did great.
Thanks. It was a good time.
It was a great show.
Yeah,
we had a lot of fun. I like getting the improv people in there. You guys are make it a lot. Bring a different dynamic to it, which is fun.
Yeah, I was really excited for Emily. She was kind of nervous, but I think she really killed it.
She did great.
Yeah.
She did awesome. So I like it because it's a different vibe. Like, you guys have these monologues and you tell, like, stories almost, because that's kind of more of the, you know, more improv style. So it's fun to see those stories with jokes instead of, you know, the comics kind of formulate jokes. If that makes sense. But so,
yeah, it's more characters but less costumes.
Yeah,
there's a lot of costumes and I'm not really a costume person, but I like the character.
There's a lot of everyone. It's been interesting the way people have brought in, like, characters and stuff with the show, but I'm sure you'll see her around more at the Drink and Debate and other places around town performing. We're going to talk to her in a minute. First, we're going to talk about some stuff, as usual, just Pants Pending Studios. That's the network, guys. You know how it goes. Go to Facebook /PantsPending. Like the network page. Find all the shows. You can listen to Why Haven't I Seen This, Never Ending Random Discussion, The Hustle, and the newest show from Pants Pending Network, The Burr Martin Experience with Selfie Dad himself, Mr. Burr Martin. So check out all those shows. You can go to socialhourpod.com/calendar and find a list of all the shows when they come out and everything. What else am I supposed to tell you guys off the top? Oh, March 15th, Wednesday, March 15th at 8 p.m. at the Bartlett, downtown Spokane, 228 West Sprague Avenue. We're doing Spokane's first comedy mixtape album featuring myself and Jessica.
Yeah,
Jessica's closing the show. You're gonna be our closer.
So we
thought long and hard, and we wanted that was the high note to close on Jessica. So,
just when people are stopped paying attention, that's
no. We wanted it to end
at the bottom,
like end well. So, and
I think I'm a bottom.
You're
a
bottom. You're a power bottom.
Power bottom.
Jessica's our power bottom. And it's going to come to that. You can get tickets now at bartlettspokane.com. Tickets are $10 in advance, and space is limited. So get your tickets now. So definitely check that out. Okay. So how's everyone doing?
Good.
Good?
Yeah.
Yeah? You awake? You alive?
Yeah, sort of.
All right. You need something?
No.
Need some limes? You want to do some blow? Get your own party?
Speaking
some
of,
blow.
I feel like I smoked crack.
Why?
I just drank.
Did you smoke crack?
No. Oh. Unfortunately, no. No, I drank a pot of coffee on an empty stomach.
Oh, okay.
That's a bummer.
I like that. I like coffee a lot. I drink way too much coffee.
Rush.
Yeah. I'm finally coming out of this concussion days of mine. It's been over 3 weeks. I'm finally starting to feel a little better. Like, and I'm starting to remember some things. Like, this last week was the first week where I didn't, like, lose big chunks of time.
That's progress.
So that I'm starting to feel better. Yeah, I got a concussion it was 3 weeks ago on Saturday.
What were you doing?
I just slipped.
I fell on ice
and I hit. Yeah.
What an idiot.
Yeah. Well, I was ice skating. I did a triple Lutz and I didn't nail it. I slipped and I hit my head because that's what old people do. They slip and fall and hurt themselves. And I thought I was okay for like a week or so. I just had a big headache and, I mean, the doctor said I had a concussion, but I was like, I thought I was getting better. And then I went downhill the second week. And. I realized, like, these big chunks of time I was losing. But I'm finally starting to feel a little better. This last week was pretty good. I remember most of what I did this week. So that's good, right?
Do you think you did anything cool during the chunks of time that you forgot?
I did lots of cool things.
Probably, yeah.
I'm always doing cool things. So I just assume. I think I went, yeah.
I'm one of those cool things getting a CAT scan.
Yeah.
You could have like a clot of blood in your brain.
Right, yeah. Well, I don't remember being seven, but, you know, pretty sure that year sucked anyway.
Yeah, it was probably for the best.
Yeah. I was in Catholic school at the time, so probably don't need to remember that. So I got to enjoy my week a little bit, though. Everyone knows who listens to the show and who knows me knows I love to go see movies, right? So I went and saw the movie Get Out. Have you guys heard of this movie?
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
No.
Okay. I was excited because it was like 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. So everyone's like, you know, it's great. It's a great movie. It's going to be great. So I went and saw it. This movie is insultingly bad.
Is it?
It is like, it's like, like insult your intelligence. Terrible. Wow. Maybe it's because it was so built up as like 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
Like everyone, critics and people, like everyone loved it. This movie is a piece of shit. It's so bad.
What's the premise?
Really?
So the premise is like this interracial, biracial couple, black guy and a white girl, go to this, her family's like estate, right? And then it gets weird. Like her mom is like this hypnotist, and it kind of turns into like a thriller horror.
Wait, is it called Get Out? Like, get out.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
She
like,
freaks the black guy over.
Right. Yeah. It was called Get Out Boy. And like, let's just drop the boy. There's actually a part where another, like, one of the only other black guys, there's like three other black people in this little community, and they're all workers, like not slaves,
like one of
but
them's
like
a
they
barber.
Seem like hypnotized, like one of them's like the like the lawn care guy, and one's like a maid, and they're just really weird, and one of them like kind of has a moment, it's like get out, like tries to tell the other black guy like escape while you can, basically.
Yeah.
And
so it takes place in Spokane.
Yeah. So yeah, with Hayden, Idaho.
We only have like one black guy though. Yeah. That'd be like
I've seen the Gonzaga basketball team.
Oh.
There's
okay.
They get a lot of Canadians. They go for the foreign guys a lot. But this movie was like so, first of all, it's like so on the nose, insultingly bad, like script writing.
Yeah.
So when they get to the house, the dad's like, oh, well, don't go in this room, secret room. Like, we had to seal up the basement. We had a black mold problem, you know. And I'm like, like, okay, you could have just like, really, you want to get that on the nose with your descriptions of, I'm going to go black mold. And then they, on the way there, they like hit a deer. And then the dad, when they're talking to dad and they get there, like,
was it a black deer?
It was a black deer.
Oh.
It was a black. Well, the deer tried to rob them. So they, yeah, no. They're talking to the dad, and he's like, well, you know, those deer, they're everywhere. They're just everywhere now, infesting all, ruining everything.
Oh,
and you're like, okay, like, I get what you're saying. You're trying to make it, you know, we understand the point you're driving home. And then they,
it wasn't about deer, was it?
I think it was an allegory. It might have been.
I've had that real conversation
mold?
With the
about
old
black
person.
Mold?
Black mold, right.
Okay.
It's a safety. It's a PSA. Basically, it was a PSA about mold. And then it goes on where they keep, you know, eventually like the, his like wacky friend back at, like at the start of the third act, like his wacky friend back in Brooklyn, who's like stereotypical, like a caricature of a black person. And it like turns into like some weird, like mystery, goofy comedy thing. And I'm like, what the fuck is happening in this movie? Like, how is this 100% on Rotten Tomatoes? Like, nothing is good about this movie. And I want someone else to see it who's sane and like watch this movie and tell me like, am I wrong or is this a really bad movie?
Like, is this the residual effects of your concussion or does it really suck?
Yeah. That may be
true. Did you actually go see this movie?
Yeah, maybe I didn't. Maybe I just made up this movie. Yeah, I think
like
what I'm trying to say is I saw a black person.
We look and it has like 10% on Rotten Tomatoes. We're like, Deese, what are you talking about?
Like that movie was 10 years ago. No, I saw it in the theater the other day.
Maybe you have a black mold problem. Yeah, maybe
I do. I'm just slowly poisoning myself,
causing you to hallucinate and have weird dreams of awful movies.
Yeah, it was. Well, what I really hate about it is, and is like it paints this picture of like like fear. Like it paints this picture of like how everyone who's black should just be afraid all the time. And okay. As someone who grew up in LA in the 80s in a very ethnic neighborhood as a Mexican person around nothing but black people, Mexican, Filipinos, like I hate that message. Like I hate that message of like, hey, run serpentine and fucking shoulder roll to your car because someone's gonna someone fucking, you know, is about to shoot you, boy. I hate that message of like sending, just putting this like blanket statement out there of like, white people are terrible. Anyone who's darker than Tom Petty in the off season of Magnum PI should be afraid. Like, you know, like that is such a shit message to put out there to people, you know, because instantly it creates racial tension instead of bringing people together.
Yeah.
And I don't like that. Like the, I understand if you're doing it as, it was so pretentious the way they like put it out there. I'm like, oh, in the veiled behind like a kind of trying to be smart horror thriller movie. I'm like, come on. It's such a shit message though, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you dished that out for us. We don't have to waste our time on that bullshit.
Don't go see it. But do you agree that like trying to tell people that they're that they're screwed even before they start life and that they're a victim and like they have they're already at a lower stature than other people instead of trying to help push them ahead. Like, it's just such a terrible message to put on people to begin with. And then, you know, like people, they fail before they even start.
Yeah. Right. We should let them slowly figure out that they're screwed.
Yeah.
On their own.
Right. Let them figure it out that they're that, you know, once they'll get on their deathbed and be like, oh God, really was screwed.
Yeah.
You know,
and are people going to watch this movie and be like, scared all of a sudden, like, oh my gosh,
yeah,
I'm black mold.
Are they talking about me?
Right? Like, should I be concerned?
Yeah.
Well, I made it this far in life and now I'm really worried.
I just don't like that idea that everyone's trying to like paint a picture of separation. Like everyone talks about like equality and bringing people together, but then they always want to separate to their groups or what they consider like their groups. And I'm like, No. You keep saying like, oh, we all want to be the same, or like, well, there's no equality, but then we all like break off into our own little factions and separate ourselves. No, you should be coming together and finding common ground. And like, you know, at a certain point, even like people say, oh, that's appropriation of someone's culture. And I'm like, in 2017, what is someone else's culture at this point? Like, isn't that the idea? Is we all should be appropriating each other's culture, and now there's not a hey, look how much different we are. Like, I mean celebrating differences is good to a point, but aren't we trying to find that where it's just, hey, we're all just people, right?
Yeah.
Right.
So,
and appropriating people's culture is not that bad. I think Taco Tuesday has done more for racial relations in America than all of our last presidents combined, you know?
That's true.
Yeah.
Taco Tuesday, that saves us, right?
Oh, it does.
It made me like Mexicans.
I thought I made you like Mexicans. Oh, man.
Do you bring us tacos?
I can make tacos.
Okay.
I have burritos in my fridge.
We didn't ask about burritos.
They're the same thing, Melissa. You people into thinking, look, it's tortillas, meat, and cheese.
It's all tortillas, meat, and cheese.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's just in some other form.
Burritos don't have a day of the week, and they don't deserve one.
What? Burritos are infinitely better than tacos, first of all.
Wait, what kind of tacos? Hard tacos or soft tacos?
Well, you always go soft tacos. You don't go hard tacos. Yeah, this isn't Taco Bell.
Right? Yeah.
This is Taco Del Sol.
79 cents. Mm.
Is it weird that Taco Bell is the only place that inflation has never hit? When I was a kid, tacos were 59 cents. Now they're like 59 cents. It's still the same. I'm like, how are you guys doing it? You're like giving away tacos. They're like practically free. I went through there. I was a little drunk a couple weeks ago. And I went through Taco Bell, and there's like this $5 meal deal box, and it's like, it's like 18 tacos, a drink. We give you Crispitos. They send one of the guys home with you to clean your toilets, and they give you $20. And I'm like, what? That seems like a way too good to be true. It's like, nah, that's it. That's what
we
do.
Just Taco Bell.
That's just Like they have really low self esteem or something. They're like, just come see us, please. We'll give you tacos. Yeah.
It's true. Other fast food has gotten so expensive.
Yeah.
Like, it's like $8 to get a burger at McDonald's. And I'm like, why, if it's the same price as a burger somewhere else, would I ever go to McDonald's?
Right. Yeah. I said all the time, like, fast food, if you go to a fast food place and get like a meal deal, you're talking like $8 to $12 now. So why don't you go sit down somewhere and have a real meal?
I mean,
unless time is like an issue where you're like, I'm on the road, I'm just pulling in to grab a burger and driving, hitting the highway again. Like, I get it. You can't stop at Applebee's and get 2 for $20. You can't, like, you know, eat like a, you can't have like a jalapeno cheese dip as you're going down the freeway. It's a little bit messy. But it's, I don't understand why people, like, don't just pay like an extra dollar or two for something that's way better.
They got a car full of kids. They got to go to soccer practice. They just got off work.
I mean, that's a little different. Like that.
Not everybody's just like a single male.
No, but that I understand. That I get. Like, there's exceptions to the rule. But like, if you're just out and about, and like, you know, if you need to pull in and feed a car full of kids, yeah, you throw them a bucket of fucking, you know, a bucket of MSG and soy burgers.
Diabetes.
Yeah, diabetes. Yeah.
Get your diabetes.
I bought MSG the other day.
How do you buy it?
Why?
It's powder.
It's powder?
It's a powder.
You bought cocaine.
All the good drugs are powder.
Did you snort it up? Did you cut it up? Yeah.
Yes. But it is MSG. No, it's a powder that you use in some recipes, I guess.
Where do you buy it? Why would you MSG in us? Cookie.
At just the grocery store. I bought it because I wanted to make. So I am from Georgia, not born but raised. And Chick-fil-A is from Georgia. And I really love Chick-fil-A, but we don't have Chick-fil-A here. And I wanted to see if I could recreate Chick-fil-A, and I found a recipe on how to recreate it. And I normally don't follow recipes at all, but this recipe called for MSG, and I was like, have to do this. And
what aisle is it in? Do you have to, like, go through the back doors and, like, it's like a speakeasy? You have to, like, knock, and then you have, like, a secret code?
You have to, like, call ahead and tell them you're going to be there and what you're going to be wearing.
They meet you
out
back.
The back. Yeah.
They, like, just, you're like, all right, drop the briefcase, kick it over. And then
someone drops a box and it looks like it's cereal, but you go get it, empty it out, and then like put it back kind of a thing.
Oh, nice.
I had to Google it. I had to be like, how do I buy this? And I looked at pictures of it, and then I just kind of like went up and down the aisles looking for the one brand I'd seen a picture of, trying to match that up. Because I was like, there's no way, it's in the spices aisle.
Do you buy it in like grams or ounces?
You buy it and it just comes, it's like a thing of spice. Like it was actually way too much. Like I'm never going to use all this MSG.
MSG.
Right. It's like,
how many recipes call it? It's just a type of salt.
It came in like one of those little like salt shaker looking things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it was the weirdest experience.
That's like that yin yang song, Shake It Like an MSG Shaker.
Yeah.
Didn't catch on like some of their other songs.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I guess it's supposed to just make you be like addicted to food, make you like it just that much more.
It's supposed to make you full. It's supposed to make you feel full. So if you have like a Chinese restaurant and you sprinkle MSG on stuff and people aren't eating as much out of the all-you-can-eat buffet because they feel full. It's like a full.
They like have it out there, then they just go and just sprinkle it. A little MSG sprinkle.
Like people are eating. People eat too much. Sprinkle more.
Yeah, sprinkle more. It's like the produce aisle at the grocery store where they have like the sprayers that come on to water it. They just have little MSG things come on like. Just spray the food like every hour. They just spray the food with all the MSG.
Fresh MSG.
Does anyone else use a paper towel like at the grocery store? Like, would just shake off your broccoli? Like, I'm not paying for water. You know what I mean?
How broke are you, Jessica? Oh, Jesus. Or do you take a pocket knife and like cut off the stem too, so you have to pay for the stock?
Yeah.
Look at all that stem. I'm paying half for stem there.
Life pro tip, shake off your broccoli to save 49 cents a year.
Put that in your savings account. Let that multiply.
You can save a lot of money on laundry detergent.
Right. Get a couple stocks and bonds.
Do your laundry.
Do half a load of laundry in 1973 for 49 cents.
So how did your Chick-fil-A turn out?
It was actually really good. Like, I had to do it twice just because the first time I made it, I was like, you know, this is so close. But the way I taste Chick-fil-A, I guess, is just different than whoever made this recipe did. So then the second time I made it, it was like spot on.
What did you make?
just a burger, like a like the sandwich, like the chicken sandwich. So it
was
just,
I thought you made intolerance.
Oh yeah. I did think about how much I hate gay people the whole time I was making that. And I think that that added to the, like, you know,
to
juiciness.
The enjoyment.
And then, yeah, it was Sunday, so you had to stop.
Right.
I can't eat this on Sunday.
I did have to
stop. Wait, a burger?
Like a chicken sandwich.
Oh, okay. A chicken sandwich. So, yeah, like a breaded chicken breast sandwich thing.
Yes.
Okay.
So the recipe, the detail was all about, like, the breading and the, yeah, making the, mostly just making the chicken taste like the chicken, because the rest of it's just a bun and,
sure, toppings, things.
They don't have toppings. They just do two pickles.
That's oddly specific. Yeah. This place I worked at in California, one moved in right next to us, and they came over like, hey, do you have, we're just opened the Chick-fil-A next door. We wanted to give you guys some free coupons for some sandwiches. How many employees do you have here? And we had like 7. I'm like, 42. And they just gave me a stack of them, and I went over there every day for like a year and just ate free sandwiches.
It's awesome. So good.
They're so good.
They're, yeah, so good. Yeah, and so, you know, with my MSG, I can make a pretty good Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich.
All right.
Awesome.
Yeah. I thought it was like some secret of the Orient MSG.
It's like, you know, I was like, I saw it on the recipe and I was thinking, where am I going to find this?
Yeah.
Am I going to have to like scrape it off of the top of a Chinese restaurant's food? Like, I don't know. How do
you
harvest MSG? You know,
you can get it at the Asian store.
Well, I got it at like Rosars or whatever.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wait, where?
Rosars. I know people always make fun of me for how I say it. Yeah.
Rosars.
Yeah.
For all of our listeners who are not familiar, that's not how you say it.
You guys all say it then.
Rosars.
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 I like Rosars.
Oh, that's fun. Ah, words are fun. There's this girl I know. She adds like an extra A to everything. She's like burrito, farencha, fries.
Who does that?
Farencha.
Farencha, fries.
Farencha,
fries. Burritos. Like, she like has like this weird.
Just puts A's in everything.
Yeah, like enunciation. Or she, like, the sandwich place Baruchi's, she calls it Baruchi's.
Does she have a really, like, I feel like she needs to, like, her jaw is too tight or something.
Yeah, her jaw's too tight.
Yeah.
I think she's
just dumb.
Probably losing her jaw.
I think she's dumb. So. I think it might be part of it.
She's dumb. That's why. I know a girl. Why? She's dumb. Oh, okay. Well,
I mean, that might be part of it. I don't know.
Right.
So, let's talk to Melissa for a little bit. Hey, Melissa.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm so good.
Good. So tell us about you. I know you, but I don't know much about you.
I'm very mysterious.
You are.
Well, just talk about my life, or do you want to know anything specific?
Let's start when you were a zygote.
Okay.
So.
I was born.
You were an apple in your father's eye.
Mm-hmm.
No. What kind of apple? Fuji? You're talking Pink Lady?
Pink Lady.
Pink Lady.
I was born.
Was born a poor black child.
I was actually born in Bozeman, Montana.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, lived there till the ripe age of 3.
Ooh, how was it?
And then skedaddled on out.
Did you work in the coal mines?
I sure did. I shoveled snow for the neighbors to earn a dollar for my
shoveling.
And then I just lived in Georgia forever after that. And then I moved from Georgia to Nebraska. And then I moved here.
How long did you live in Georgia?
From the ripe age of 3 until after I graduated college. So how old are you when you graduate college? Like 21, 22?
I never went to high school.
So yeah, like 22.
I'm still working on that one. I'll get back to you in a couple of years.
So 22-ish, and then I moved to Nebraska for a job, and I lived there for like 2 years.
What job?
I worked at a theater, like a children's theater, teaching. And I moved out there. It was like an internship I did, and then they offered me a full-time job after I graduated, and I was like, get me out of Georgia. So I went to Nebraska.
Get me out of Georgia, because Nebraska is hot.
Nebraska's actually not that awful. Like, the cities are really cool. I lived in Omaha and Lincoln. Lincoln is a small, like, kind of Spokane-sized, or Spokane-feel college town. Very party. And Omaha just has really good food, because it's in Nebraska. And you don't have really any other options other than eating and drinking a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like that. I get down with that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I like both those things.
I wouldn't plan a special vacation there, but if you're in the area, definitely yeah. go.
I do find yeah. myself in the area of Omaha, Nebraska quite often.
And you've been, I was just and passing you've been avoiding through. It this right. whole time. Yeah. You've been avoiding it, but oh, don't. Man, you can go.
So next time I'm there, I should eat and drink.
Yeah.
Okay.
They have the best margarita I've ever had in my life in Omaha.
That's what I've that's yeah. It's one thing about Nebraska. It's they know no, Mexican they know drinks. They know their margaritas.
Yeah, they do.
Not corn, not beef, not
I had a really expensive steak there one time.
Okay. How much? What are we talking expensive?
I don't know, I didn't pay for it.
Oh, well of course you don't. Weird. God, you girls.
Oops.
Hashtag privilege.
We're yeah. not we're yeah. not mad at a $50 plate of food.
No.
Of course yeah. you're not. I wouldn't be either.
I spent yeah. a lot of time on Tinder when I was in Omaha because yeah. I didn't really know anyone. When I left not really knowing anyone, but having spent a lot of time on Tinder.
Well,
so
the problem is if yeah. I go to if I go to dinner with Traz, he's not going to buy me dinner because he thinks I might give him a hand job.
Right.
Guys will take a girl out to buy a big dinner because they think that they might get a hand job.
Yeah.
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 So did you go on a lot of Tinder dates?
I went on a lot of Tinder dates.
Wow.
How many hand jobs?
Yeah.
I actually.
What's the hand job to Tinder date ratio?
I actually like only one gave four? One Tinder date a hand job.
Okay.
Only one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool. But you, how many dinners did you get before?
How many dinners did I get before I gave that specific Tinder date or
yeah,
all
like,
Tinder dates?
That specific one. When do I have to start giving people hand jobs?
Basically, what's the over-under on HGAs is what
you
she's
know,
asking.
Yeah.
It was actually probably a while into
right.
that one. I don't really know the exact number of dates. Most times I just went on one date because then people don't expect you to give them a hand job on the first date often.
Right.
Right.
Sometimes, you know, but
sure.
if you give off this vibe of I'm not going to give you a hand
right,
job.
The hand job
then,
vibe.
Yeah.
Then
like when
then
you're just
okay.
like when you're like lotioning your hands the whole time.
No,
like,
you're
oh, this is happening.
You're sandpapering yeah. them the whole time.
Right,
they know.
Yeah.
They're like, no,
right.
nothing's happening.
And if you use like, you know, one of those zesty lemon wet naps, it's a mystery. You're
yeah.
like, is that happen
yeah,
is that because that
like,
could be a good that could go either way
yeah. look
yeah.
at my weightlifting calluses
right.
I have a pair of spiked
I have calluses
gloves
too,
that
not
I'll wear sometimes like
right.
like nails that I've sewn onto gloves and I'll just kind of like
that's
wear
not some people
really
are into that
you're, not
yeah. a hand job. You're like yeah. I'm definitely please don't
oh,
give
I'm not
me
getting
a hand job
hand
please
job.
Then you're begging that you don't get a hand job at
right.
that point you're like oh my god I hope she doesn't try and give me a hand job she has nails on her
because they're like well her hands look like she has a firm but supple grip but they're also like pointy
yeah
super naily.
Some people like that. Some people
cold.
Pay extra for that.
Well,
type
I just
of thing.
Wasn't meeting the right Tinder guys then.
Yeah.
If that's what
they weren't into the spiky hand jobs.
Yeah.
Well, there's still time, Melissa. You never know. You know, onward and upward.
Yeah.
So what? How does? How'd you end up in Spokane?
A boy I met on Tinder.
Okay. Did he get a hand job? Is he the hand job guy?
Yes.
He's the hand job guy.
Ooh,
the hand job bandit.
The hand job guy. All
yeah.
right.
Yeah. We're here.
That's how everybody else got here, too.
Hand jobs.
Hand jobs, yeah. That's the only reason to come to Spokane.
What, so was he from here, or did you,
no, so he
did you just change your range on Tinder by a couple hundred
yeah.
miles?
No, we moved here together. He moved for his job. He works for the railroad. Very rich. I love it. Oh, so rich.
Jesus Christ.
He's actually not really that rich. It just
he's not that rich.
Just
he's
working
not that
for the railroad.
Rich.
He makes more money than I do, but like
what
most
do you
people
do.
I work in an office.
Okay. Well, you're just a girl, too. So you get, I mean, you're making 75 cents on his dollar. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
God.
I mean,
I have an arts degree and he has an engineering degree. So
oh, well,
not,
yeah.
I'm
let's
not angry
be real.
He's making more money than
yeah.
me. Like, it was expected.
How long
right.
have you guys been together?
Coming up on 3 years sometime soon.
Yeah, it sounds romantic.
Yeah.
It sounds like you're really into it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Well, I don't know when to start, like, timing, like, from the hand job or, like, from the first Tinder date. Like.
I think from when he comes. That's
oh.
when it, that's yeah, from right.
Oh, that's from where you count.
That's where
okay.
you count.
That's
right there.
Where you
yeah.
count it. All right.
From
so coming
moment.
Up on 3 years in a couple months.
Literally coming up on
yeah,
3 years.
Yeah, exactly. Give
okay.
or take.
Give or take. So, got it.
Yeah.
Okay. Very good.
His name's Luke. He's really cool.
Shout out to Luke. Shout out to Handjob Luke.
Cool hand job Luke.
Yeah.
That's right.
And he's rich, ladies.
Yeah, he's rich. So, you know, if you can give a better hand job than Melissa, you might be able to. So, you never know. All right. Well, good. So how'd you get into doing comedy and Blue Door and stuff like that?
So I have an arts background. So I went to college for theater for youth. And so I was like performing, and my college had an improv troupe. And I, as a freshman, didn't think I was very funny. And so I was like, oh, just watch the comedy stuff. And then one day I was like, wait, maybe I am funny. So maybe I should do something with it, like improv.
Yeah, totally.
And I think it was just because, like, people had just always been very, like artists and comedians are very all about themselves. You've kind of got to think you're awesome or think you're really awful, like, either end of the spectrum, you know?
I think it's both.
You got to have a little mix of I suck, but I'm so great. And so I was around all these people, and I hadn't gotten that yet. And they were all so funny. And so I was like, obviously, I'm not funny if these people are. Like,
sure.
Because there can only be so many funny people, right? You know, that. No, it's not true. So I started doing improv and loved it. Literally obsessed with it. Thought it was so great. And then I stopped when I moved to Nebraska because we just didn't have a place to do it. And so when Luke and I were going to move, I was like, I can't go somewhere that doesn't have improv because I think I'm going to blow up my brain. Or something.
Found your thing.
Yeah.
So have you thought about, have you ever considered doing stand-up?
I've considered it and decided no.
Why?
I overthink things, and I love improv because it's,
you're not allowed to overthink it.
You can't overthink it. Yeah. It's quick, it's simple, and it's either amazing or it's not. Hmm. And there's really no changing. If it's not great, then it just wasn't great, and that's fine. But the, you know, planning jokes and rehearsing your bits and your whatever just is something that really scares me. I've like written stuff and I think it's so bad, but like maybe people just always think that, but I just don't. I think it's stressed out about it.
Okay.
It is different. I've done some improv. I personally like stand up better.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't know. I like, there's differences, you know, like, I like doing improv, but I like doing stand up, and I like actually writing like scripts, and I like, you know, like the podcast has an element to it where it's, you know, kind of improv, kind of, you know, it's just on your feet is what I like that conversational stuff. So,
that's why I like the debates, is because it's, it feels very improv, but it's, less scene work. You kind of get to improv as you, so it's a nice mix of the two. Mm-hmm. Where if you want to write jokes, you can.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you want to plan something out, you can, and you can't do that in a show of improv because you don't know what your teammates are going to be giving you. So I really enjoy it, but I'd applaud people who do stand up then, because it just scares the shit out of me.
It's not that scary. It's really nice.
But it's just the person that you are. And some people are, and some people, you know, some people are stand-up people, and some people aren't, you know. And I just don't think that I am, and I'm pretty chill with that.
All right, that's all right.
Yeah.
So, well, you're a great improvisational actress, comedian. You're very funny. You're very good. I got to come down.
Tell me more.
I like your glasses.
Thank you.
So if you want to see Melissa, you can go to the Blue Door Theater, and they do shows all the time. Every weekend, there's always something at 815 West Garland Avenue in the Garland District in Spokane. So she's there all the time performing, not every day, but you're there regularly, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Catch a show. Go there anyway. It's a great show. There's lots of talented people there. So, all right. Well, we are going to get into a little bit of news here. Got a couple things. We gonna talk about here. 1 second. God, I should have got this shit ready. Hold on. Somebody filibuster.
Are you guys avid news watchers? You follow the news? Watch like CNN, get the newspaper, internet.
I check it at work sometimes, and then I just oh, too stupid, and I gotta turn it off.
Yeah, makes sense. What about you?
I like to do the what is trending kind of things on Facebook. They have like trending news, and I like to just like look at that, so I kind of know what's happening and like read about it if I want to. But it's a pretty new thing. I feel like recently you've kind of got to be in on what's going on.
We're playing we're doing the classy news. Until our permanent co-host, who's actually starting next week, so join us next week to find out who the new permanent co-host of the Social Hour is going to be. That's right. They'll be joining us next week. This is our classy jazz, classy news segment. I like this music. Feels
is it
good.
Raining?
Mm-hmm.
It
I
is.
Like the rain.
It's classy rain.
Yeah, it is classy as fuck, right?
Makes me want to drink wine.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right. First of all, we were talking about movies earlier. Hollywood loves to remake movies. Is everyone familiar with the Goldie Hawn, Kurt Russell movie Overboard?
No.
Never heard of it.
Okay. So it's a movie from probably late 80s, early 90s, starring Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn, where they are... Goldie Hawn is married to a rich man. She falls overboard off a boat, hits her head. Kurt Russell finds her as she washes up on the river. And he is kind of a lone gentleman with a couple kids. And he convinces her, she has amnesia, that she is his wife. And it goes through that comedy.
Oh, okay.
They're remaking this movie. Because it sounded good enough to remake, right? It didn't. Yeah. Wasn't that synopsis amazing? They're remaking this movie, and here's a twist. They're going to switch the gender roles. Can we stop with, like, we're going to remake movies, but we're going to, like, oh, look, now it's a woman instead of a man. Or now they're black instead of white. It's like...
Right.
It's the most contrived, like, switch they want to... It's the easiest form of, like, why bother actually writing anything original?
Right.
Let's just rehash this piece of shit and, oh, look, it's a different gender now.
It's like doing Romeo and Juliet set in every single time period, over and over.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
like, we get it,
yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Right. Wasn't that 10 Things I Hate About You? Wasn't that...
That was a different
that's
one.
Othello.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was actually kind of a clever remake of that, I think.
I like that movie.
All right.
I don't think
well,
it
fine.
Should be.
But otherwise, fuck you, Hollywood. Yeah. You suck dick.
Yeah.
That's why we've never even heard of this stupid movie.
Is it legal to remake a movie that Kurt Russell was in?
Why wouldn't you be able to?
Do you think
he's dead?
Hell yeah.
Are you saying you think Kurt Russell's dead?
No, I just don't think it should be legal to remake a Kurt Russell movie. Because, like, that's
okay.
As good as it's going to get already, you know?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, like, it doesn't get better than Kurt Russell's appearance in a movie?
Like Point Break? Did you like that?
Everybody loves Point Break.
Oh, my God, that's a terrible movie.
I like it, too.
Hold on. That's a terrible movie.
We're best friends now.
That's a terrible movie that's fun to watch.
You should totally watch it.
I watched it a couple weeks ago, and I'm like, it's one of those movies that's so bad that it like comes around full circle and becomes good again. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's movies like that that like it's not a good movie, but it's fun to watch. You know the difference like
Cliffhanger, Sylvester Stallone.
Right, terrible movie, but fun to watch. For the first Sharknado, terrible movie, but fun to watch.
But is it still terrible if you love it?
Yes. Because, I talk about this all the time. Traz knows it's like guilty pleasure songs.
Yeah.
Like, I love, like, Party in the USA by Miley Cyrus. It's a terrible song, but I love
it.
But it's an awful song.
Ugh, fine.
I mean, we were talking fast food earlier, right? Mm-hmm. Like every now and then, I eat fast food like maybe 5 times a year, you know, and every now and then, like I have just this hankering, like I want like a 6-piece of chicken nuggets, like McNuggets with hot mustard sauce and their fries. I know it's terrible, but I want it, you know, it's that same thing or like the same reason a lot of people want to watch TMZ, you know, it's garbage. You know, it's terrible trash, and it's the worst thing, or the Kardashians, or whatever. Like,
That's my guilty pleasure.
There you go. See? Oh. Nailed it. We just found.
They're so bad.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. Good.
Exactly. It's so bad. And you know it's bad,
yeah. Oh,
right?
Yeah.
You know it's garbage.
Oh, yeah.
And you know it's like rotting you from the inside. You're like, fuck it. It's worth it. It's
I feel that way about Pretty Little Liars.
Oh,
I love Pretty Little Liars.
My ex-girlfriend used to make me watch that show all the time.
Oh,
it's
my God.
Fucking god-awful.
Isn't it, though?
So
I
bad.
Love it.
And there's
like,
such trashy horrors.
You need trashy so drama dumb. In your life. Like, like you have to have that one person in your life who's just so shitty, but you've got to have them.
I
moved out of my parents' house for a reason. I don't need that.
It's just, there's hoarders. Why do you think there's a hoarder?
Oh, exactly. Yeah, the hoarder.
You gotta watch. You're like, I'm not that guy.
Listen, there's a reason I love To Catch a Predator. Like, I would buy that box set if Dateline put that out as a box set on DVD. I would buy that and watch the shit out of it. Every time Chris Hansen's like, yeah, okay, Cybercock 509, would you like to read these emails? No. Okay, I'll read them for you. You said you were going to blank her in the blank with a toothbrush and then blank her with a toilet bowl cleaner with the dirty end, you naughty blank. Yeah, I was just going to talk to her. I wasn't going to. Then why did you bring sea breezes and condoms and lube? Well, you know, that was a different reason.
She said her mom needed it.
Yeah. It's always that same. And then I love it. Like, yo, well, you can like, well. I guess you're free to go. Like, I can just leave? Like, yeah, you pedophile, you can just leave.
And then they arrest him.
And then they tackle him and zip tie him and tase him. It's so good. Or, like, Cheaters. Did you ever watch the show Cheaters?
Yeah.
No.
Where they would follow around people's... people would submit that they thought their significant other was cheating.
Uh-huh.
And then they would watch... They would follow him around like hidden camera style and catch him cheating and then show the other person and they'd freak out and then they'd confront him with their like.
And it would be like in a parking lot.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that sounds amazing.
Well, yeah. That sounds good.
The guy, what was the host's name? Like Danny.
So sneaky.
Wasn't it on MTV or something?
Oh my gosh, did you guys ever see Eliminate on MTV?
Oh,
no.
It was like a dating show that happened
on the bus?
In, like, it was, no, there the bus one was called something else.
Oh, okay.
But there was one and. I know what you're talking about. But it's this one girl and it's like five guys and they have like an afternoon or like a whole day. So they like do all these different events like having a drink or like walking down the street. And after each event, she like eliminates one of the guys.
Yeah.
It's
literally
awful. And the guys are always so awful. And it's super old, so they have like dumb hair.
Mm-hmm.
Like the fashion is just to die for. It's so good.
I want them to make a TV show where, like, I can watch other people be disappointed. Like, just for, like, just watch people, like, a bird shits on someone's head and they're like, like, I would just so I don't feel like it's just, like, me all the time. Like, someone else walks out to their car and, like, their tires are flat. Like, just to watch, like, other people be disappointed.
A new clip.
Yeah, like, instead of just me.
Hold on. We're going to. So this is Cheaters.
Joe Greco.
But this is an episode of Cheaters.
Wait, is his face blurred out?
Hold on. This is the host.
You're not coming home. You are not coming home.
I'll be there when I do it. When me and my lady friend finish. This was the best episode of Cheaters ever. They're on a boat.
Me and my lady friend,
on our boat.
She's like, I don't care.
Yeah, watch this. Hold on. Watch this part, though. They get in a scuffle. Hold on, they're fighting. They're on a boat. They're scuffling. This is the best. They're falling off a boat. But look at this. They got the camera crew. They got the.
They got the guy out of the water.
But, so Joey, this is the host, Joey Greco. He got stabbed.
What?
In the melee. Like, this is when the show went off the rails, and I think they had to cancel it soon after because he got stabbed.
Yeah, I'm alright.
Wait, so what the fuck am
How
I
did
seeing?
They get on
what
a
happened?
Boat together?
They, like, pulled up on the boat next to him.
Oh.
Look, so he's, like, bleeding.
Does anybody here know?
Yes. And he's, like, handcuffed in the other boat.
Oh, yeah, dude.
This is really good.
That's what you get, motherfucker.
Wait, that was, who stabbed him?
The, like, one of the guys, like the cheater guy.
Yeah, he, like, stabbed him.
I'm already handcuffed. They're at you right now. Bro, wait till I get home.
I'll be right there. That dude with the boat that stabbed him is fucking badass. He's like, get off my boat. I told you, motherfuckers.
Hey everyone, this is your old pal, Uncle Deese. So we had some technical difficulties at the end of that show, which I am very upset about because we had some comic gold in that last 20 minutes, but we lost it all. It's just not listenable audio. I do apologize. First of all, to our guest, Melissa Rice, thank you so much for coming. You're a fantastic guest. I want to have you back, especially considering we lost a chunk of your audio from the show. Melissa, you can find her at Blue Door Theater, performing regularly and all around town doing improv and comedy. She's a lovely young lady, super, super talented. I'm a big fan. And thank you to Jessica Watson for coming and filling in guest co-hosting. So we will have Jessica's always around. Love having her. And I'm going to get Melissa back in soon to finish up this interview that that got cut off for. I do apologize to all the listeners for the short episode. We have some technical difficulties, but we got them figured out. So next episode is all brand new and ready to go. No problems. We have author Alex Fader coming up next week. And big announcement, we have our new guest, our new permanent co-host starting next week. So look forward to that, guys. Come find out who it's going to be. But for now, I'm going to leave you with a short interview that I got to do with Todd Armstrong. He's a comic out of Portland, Oregon. He's been doing this for a long time. He was recently in Spokane for a while helping to manage, well, not helping, he was managing the Spokane Comedy Club. And he whipped us into shape, and he's off to continue his blossoming comedy career. So you can find him all over. Go to, find him on Facebook, Todd Armstrong. Follow him. He's a great comic. He's all over the Northwest, I-5. Anywhere the I-5 goes, he's there. And then the 90 headed east now, apparently, if you guys are familiar with freeways and highways and byways. Why the byways also? Have you ever been on a byway? Has anyone ever watched a horror movie and those people get lost in the woods and they find that creepy old gas station there? The pump doesn't work, or it still says like 47 cents a gallon, and they go inside and the inside of the station looks like that weird shop from Gremlins where they buy Gizmo. The dad buys Gizmo at the start of the movie. And that does the person looking for the way back to Route 66, as he goes, I'm looking, I need to know how to get back to the byways. Or does they, can you tell me how to get back to the highway? And the clerk behind the counter never says, what about the byways? just highways. We can do with just highways. Or when people say all new. That's why I never say it's an all-new episode of The Social Hour, because it's just new. New implies it's new, the whole thing, right? Never partially new. Like, the middle 37 minutes is new. The front end and the back end is all old shit. Wouldn't that be a pain in the ass? All right, guys. Well, I'm going to leave you with this interview. It's a semi-brief interview, but a lot of good material in here, a lot of good knowledge. Todd's a great comic, great guy. We miss having him around Spokane, but I'm sure we will get to see him again. If you get a chance to see him live, definitely take that opportunity. And here you go, guys.
Do you have to have brick walls and candles to make a real comedy club?
The brick wall is definitely necessary. Candles, yeah. Every improv I went to in California.
Everything candles, black, so. Less distracting, just enough light to let people see the menus and whatnot, keep people from putting their phone away.
Yeah.
It's just really priority nowadays, especially if when comedy started, it was already hard to keep distractions down. Now everyone has a goddamn hand computer.
One of these, more computing power than the Atlanta space shuttle.
That's crazy.
Yeah. All right, 6.5 out of 10. Okay. All right. So we
do they have an app to go to space?
Yeah.
Do
they, well, according to Wells, Elon Musk is flying people to the moon next year. Two people.
Pick up that helium-3. Start the next revolution on power.
All right. So we will. We are going. We're live. Let's see. Malav Keen, everyone, welcome to the show. This is the Social Hour. I am sitting here live in the Spokane Comedy Club at 315 West Sprague Avenue in the heart of downtown Spokane. With
the new heart of
the
downtown
new heart.
Spokane.
Yeah, that's yeah. The beating drum.
This is
of
the new heart, for sure. The,
yeah, we are. We are here with the former, current,
outgoing,
for outgoing, by his own,
but returning fruition. Headliner in October.
Yeah, that's
so
right. He's coming. We are with Todd Armstrong, stand-up comic, and yeah, he was whipping this club into shape for us. But he's headed back to Portland, Oregon, to
rainier group. Pastures, to actual goddamn pastures, instead of snow covered. I'm going back to the planet where Luke met Yoda, not where he slept in a tauntaun. So that's I'm going back to the Dagobah system of life, and you can fuck this hoth filled pothole. I brought my motorcycle out for no goddamn reason.
In winter, you thought that you would.
Oh,
you
I thought like oh, dry. You're fine. You're good to go. Well, I can find some patches, but I didn't realize that once the roads dried up, it's nothing but like
oh no, you're
you
just,
know bar crossing death
you're
traps.
Fall into that pothole.
Oh damn, dude! I already
again.
Fall anyways.
The that's a terrible thing. This yeah the winters here get this is with a bad winter, exceptionally bad winter though.
But I'm good for that. Like the year I lived in Boston was just primarily the heart of my time there was the winter, and it was like the worst one they had for a while until this one. It
you
was
lived
like,
in Boston?
Yeah, from between 2005 2006,
did
like
you
not
like
quite
it?
A year. It wasn't a fit for me. I was definitely
that's like
I got a lot of like it uses from Phoenix, isn't it? You's got a weird accent. Like you like I don't know Boston just wasn't a click for me, but I met a lot of dope people.
Sure.
I learned how important lobster, you know, yeah. pizza is. Like, even lobster pizza is amazing.
That's a nice way of saying I didn't like it.
No,
it's not
it's,
a fit. It wasn't a fit. That's like when someone's like,
I'm
hey,
stoked I had the experience. I made
sure,
a lot of money.
Sure.
I learned to man. Oh, well, I wouldn't be here in Spokane if I wouldn't have went to Boston because I moved there to manage a construction company, get the okay. sales team up in order and do that kind of stuff. So literally yeah. everything I learned in Boston, I came out here and implemented here in Spokane. Of,
makes sense.
Like, I know I'm a good manager. Like, I'm my staff, my employees enjoy me because I'm there for them. Like, yeah. I'm an empathetic person. I lead by example. I mean, I'm the one mopping the floors at the end of the night, two helping out. I was just vacuuming when you came in.
That's right, you were.
And, you know, it's like I...
So you're straightening chairs
yeah,
and doing
yeah,
all
yeah.
the...
Like, nothing's beneath me, and I want the club to be its best because I recognize what it is. Like, this is an amazing place. It's set up, it's run by good people who, you know, it's a family-owned business. They give back to rescue dogs, like you were inquiring about, stand up for pits.
Yep.
Like, we're bringing that in November.
Yep. Like, excited for that.
Yeah, that's amazing. For I mean, folks that don't know that, it's about rescue dogs and reacclimating bait dogs and adopting them out. And I think at Tacoma last year, the one that I helped at this last 2006 in November or December, I'm sorry, I think we raised like $78,000.
That's great. There's so many, I don't know if it is in Portland or so, I'm sure it's this way in Tacoma though, it's similar to Spokane. There's so many you know, misabused pit bulls just because of the kind
yeah.
of the demographics of people who get pit bulls.
No, yeah, but I mean, it's one of those things where it's like I don't know, Finding Nemo was great for you know, bringing awareness to little kids, you know, like, oh, there's the ocean and there's an ecosystem, there's life beyond
right.
my own life.
Yeah.
Teach them little Buddhist principles almost.
Makes
but
sense.
At the same time,
yeah.
too, they went out and all the moms and dads bought them fucking clownfish and
yeah.
decimated the population.
And
then it's like
you
stupid assholes. And then so the same thing for that was like DMX for fucking white trash assholes with Four Loko.
Sure, yeah.
It's just like, I want a pit bull too. I bark at people. And they just don't get it. And if you have an apartment, you shouldn't have a pit bull.
Right. Well, that's the reason I always adopt.
Or a bully or an American or a Staffordshire Terrier or however you have to list it to get in the apartment. Because
she's a pit bull. She's a mix. Boxer mix.
No, I have like my dog passed, let's see, 3 years ago. 3.5 years ago, like I love him to death. He lived a good life. It wasn't like a bad thing. He just lived a full beagle life. But my adoptive daughter now is Cake. She's a half gray or a blue, blue pit, and then half American bully. And she is just a gargoyle. She looks like she's made of stone, and she's the biggest baby, and she's so sweet.
Well, that's like my dog. She's 90 pounds, and she's black, so she looks intimidating. Like, she's a black and white dog. And
like
she's
a gargoyle
big and all muscle.
Panther.
Yeah. And she just, people are intimidated by her when I take her to the dog park.
Is she one
that
looks
just,
like an iron pig, or is it all muscle?
She's
like
all
ripped.
Muscle.
Yeah,
she's,
those are nuts.
She's
that's
just
how Cake
ripped.
Is.
And but, yeah, she's like, I mean, she just wants to play all day. And she's too. I always tell people, like, what is your dog? I go, she's like a poodle mixed with a smaller poodle. Yes. She's like 90 pounds and gigantic.
Yeah, no, they're usually lap dogs. They're kissers. Like, they want to smooch you a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, I love pits. They're great. I mean, they definitely have that temperament of being protective, just like... I mean, I don't.
But you can make any dog a.
Yeah, I mean,
asshole.
There's certain traits of a dog that are ingrained genetically. Now, I do not think pits are prone to attacking. I don't think I like that. I think, if anything, Cocker Spaniels are, oh, yeah, in my life, are prone to freaking attack.
Jack Russell Terriers.
Yeah, they're little nippers. Are, yeah. But, I mean, my personal life, it's been Rottweilers and Dobermans and mini poodles. I mean, I skateboard rode BMX a lot as a kid, and so, I mean, there's a lot of ankle-biting dogs, and most of them are Cocker Spaniels.
Yeah,
and assholes. So to my mental thing, but it's like you see a pit bull, and you're looking for that trait.
Right,
You're prone to that.
Well, in any
It
any
is just like it's xenophobia,
hear.
It's racism, it's ignorance. It's like you need to prove to me you're not this way that I've already pre-asserted.
Right.
Like, what the fuck,
yeah,
dude?
Yeah,
that's
beyond a shadow of a doubt. Yeah. It's just you're already guilty.
Yeah, and so it's whether, I mean, people will do it with dogs, but I can usually judge it by, like, food. If you're a person that only eats macaroni and cheese and french fries, I think you're probably going to judge the dog a little bit. I think you're going to judge the person a little bit.
Sure.
You're afraid to step out of your comfort zone.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it. And the Spokane,
it's
there's
different.
A lot of stereotypes and, you know.
And a lot of bad tippers.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about what we have here. Let's talk about comedy for you. So you've been in comedy for how long?
It'd be 7 years. 7 years and a month.
And you started in Portland?
In Portland,
In
yeah.
Portland.
Almost my whole career is in Portland. I mean, okay. I spent a little time in New York, a little time in L.A. I'm going to Maui next month or April.
Nice.
But, yeah. I mean, I'm really an I-5 comic, all up and down I-5. Like, I got into comedy to see more of the world.
Yeah. So, Maui's a good start.
Yeah, no, yeah, it's a good connection. It's a good place to have.
Belize, they have a comedy club in Belize.
Yeah, I've been to Belize. It's pretty dope.
I'm supposed to go in April, so I'm looking forward
to it. Yeah, I've been to Belize and Honduras. When I was younger, I used to travel around a bit and like to swim a lot and surf a lot before I got old.
Good spots for it.
Yeah, it's Costa Rica. I went to Costa Rica a lot when I was younger.
The Caribbean side?
The Pacific side of Costa Rica.
Okay.
But the Caribbean side of Honduras, obviously. Yeah.
And Belize, they only have the Caribbean side, right?
Because I'm pretty sure Honduras is wide enough to cover both.
Or Honduras, okay. So 7 years in comedy. What made you get into comedy? I mean,
I was getting over panic attacks when I was being a teacher. I was finishing up the second year of my student. Like, I got my degree in elementary education, and then I started doing that, like, standing in front of the kids teaching, like, leading a class. And I just, the little eyes on me were just killing me. And so I was like, bucket list time. Let's try comedy 5 times as a New Year's resolution for 2010. And I tried it.
Did you know the first time that you
were in? No, because the first time I went, I saw Nathan Brandon go up. And within my first week, I saw Ian Carmel start comedy. And I saw Ron Funches, and I saw Shane Torres, and he was heckling people. And a guy named Kyle Harbert out of Portland, who's quite talented, but in a very his own unique fashion. But it's like I started at a very unique time where I just thought I was pretty good and kind of smart. But then I didn't know I was starting at a very special time in comedy where, like, there was another boom happening and Portland was kind of one of those centers of that boom. And Ian was such a rising star. And Ron, I mean, Ron's in everything now. Ron's on Chopped fucking March 23rd.
Wow.
Like, the dude I used to, like, literally, like, oh, you can take my bed with Malcolm tonight. I'll sleep on the couch. Like, I used to pick his hair out of my goddamn pillows. Like, I had little Funchberries, little bun. Like, now he's on Chopped.
You probably sell those. You should have
kept them. Yeah, I should have kept them.
Kept on, like,
no, I mean, Ron's a good dude, and it's just interesting to, like, I guess, be the, I don't know, be the 10th man on the team when you're like, oh, shit, I didn't know that we were this... Oh my God! I didn't know. Oh dang! I didn't know we were 90. I didn't know we were 92 American Olympics. I'm Christian Laettner. I'm Christian Laettner. Like,
yeah, they're like that. You're just the Hightower man.
Yeah, Anthony Lopez, Tim Hammer. Like, I started a very lucky time, and so me being a very, I don't know, I'm kind of preachy. I'm very soapboxy. I'm a straight white guy, and I don't like being wrong, and so people want to hate me, so I like being the heel. I loved growing up watching wrestling. Like, I like being the ultimate warrior of Portland comedy. For real. Like, you don't know what the fuck's going to happen. You don't know if I'm a good guy or a bad guy, but I'm just going to give you the best show I can, and it's...
Well, Well, Portland's a unique place to do comedy too, though. Especially,
and that's why I stayed there. For my voice, it's like for me running down a beach.
Right.
It's running in sand. It's the hardest place I can go.
So what? Where do you think is? Are there easier places for you for comedy than?
Oh, Tacoma. Tacoma, Salem, Eugene, any offshoot, any still.
It's just more blue collar.
Well, just grounded. Portland's not grounded. Portland's right. The great bubble, just like Williamsburg, Brooklyn, just like Burbank, California, just like, I mean, let's call it Queen Anne in Seattle.
Sure.
There's little bubbles that people don't think they're in a bubble because they think that they're just right and their life is the way to live it.
But so they've got it. There's no
self-aggrandizing.
There's no friction.
No.
There's no friction.
Because when you're a group of around like-minded people, then there's no contrast. No one's ever calling each other out on their ideas, and they settle into complacency.
Yeah.
And that's how society dies.
So what's your concept with comedy then? What are you trying to push to get people to? Because everyone thinks they're trying to get people to think in comedy, or most people do, I assume, who are really like interested in comedy and thinking when they
I'm trying to take something that you have assumed and show you it has to be wrong. So maybe you should listen to what I have to say. Like, I love that most people assume Jesus is white. But, like, I'm just like, how could you even start by assuming that? And so if you start with premises like that, or George Washington never once had wooden teeth.
Right.
I mean, they were ivory and metal. If ostriches don't bury their head in the sand when they're afraid. I mean, like, the little nuance. I say this a lot on podcasts, but I really like that light bulb going off on top of your head, to use the same, like, Looney Tunes analogy.
Yeah.
Like, I'm Looney Tunes meets Richard Pryor is what I want to do. I'm like, I literally want to be... I want to be Dave Chappelle and Mark Twain. I want to be Oscar Wilde. I want to be Oscar Wilde and Killer Mike. Well, that's what I really want to do. I really, that's what I desperately want.
Best combo album.
I think the only way to Run the Jewels could get better is if fucking Oscar Wilde came in and did a gay fucking track like Love Again.
I feel like that hit number one.
Oh, my God, dude. Like, the only way it could get better is if it wasn't Gangster Boo and it was the ghost of Oscar Wilde. Or what is it, a hologram of Oscar Wilde at Coachella.
book festival.
3,000 a ticket.
Sorry, I know you're unlimited.
Oh, no worries. Yeah, we got two more minutes.
Okay, perfect. So going back to Portland, I mean, do you plan to stay in Portland? Are you looking to grow?
Portland's my home. Portland's my home. I know it limits me comically, and I'm supposed to go to epicenters of culture like Los Angeles. But the epicenter of my culture is Portland. I really love it. I really don't mind being labeled a Portland guy. I don't mind being...
What's your favorite thing to talk about in Portland to push people?
The food scene. The food's amazing. There's not... I'd love to travel. The reason I do comedy is to try new foods and see new places and hike to places nobody else goes to. And Portland is a great place to just do what you want. Like, you're an hour and a half from anything. You could be surfing or snowboarding year-round.
So what do you I'll ask this last question, we'll let you go. I know the show's about to start. What do we got? What do you see in Spokane? Potential for Spokane for long-term growth?
I think it's the next big city on the West Coast, for sure. I think it's Spokane and Pittsburgh.
Okay.
I think those are the two places where people are going to grow. I think you're going to get an influx of a bit more culture. I think in 5 years, Spokane's going to be the quote-unquote New Portland.
Yeah. All right. I think so, too. There's a lot of people coming this way.
Yeah.
So
that's why I came out here and did what I had, and then I'm going to go do some stuff and then be good.
There you go. All right. Well, I know you got to go.
It's getting loud, so I got to run a club.
So, all right. Thank you. We appreciate all your time and coming and helping us out here in Spokane.
Absolutely.
Man,
I'll be back in October. It'll be fun. Let's pack this place out.
Sounds good. All right. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks again.
And now for my weekly apologies. I'd like to apologize to Black Mold, Chinese Buffets, Omaha, Nebraska, Kurt Russell, Melissa's boyfriend, Joey Greco, Monica, and everyone who's ever been on To Catch a Predator. Thanks for listening, guys, and we will see you all next week.
That dude with the boat that stabbed him is fucking badass. He's like, get off my boat. I told you, motherfuckers.
This podcast is a Pants Pending Studios production.
And part of the Pants Pending Studios podcast network.
Find more of our great shows just by searching Pants Pending in your podcatcher.
For more information or to contact us directly, visit us at pantspending.com.
Please subscribe to this show, share it with your friends, like it on Facebook, and rate it on iTunes.
And we thank you for making us a part of your listening day.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending. Studios!